neither one is
working? I think I'm getting the both to work. Hold on. Well, this, we're going to, yeah.
Play it back. Test.
This is a test. We're using two MP3s, Ellie Weber, starting 9 o'clock sharp on a Tuesday morning, Mitzvah 210, honoring parents. One of the MP3s will work.
Okay. We are, so we've kind of moved into a new area in the Rambam. Last week was 209, Reish Tes, was about standing for Talmidei Chachamim and for the elderly. This week is Kibud Avayim. Clearly, as we've mentioned before, the Rambam, no one knows exactly why the order is what it is in the Rambam. But it's clear that it's thematic. And so, you know, he put Kibud Avayim next to, you know, Kibud Chachamim and old people. And next week will be Moreh Avayim, which is different. Fear of awe of your parents as opposed to honoring them. And then the one, just if you want to look ahead, the next one will be Piri of Arivia, which you could say is related to family and parents, you know, whatever. It's.
Can I just say, in honor of the day, I brought in wafers and something that's dark.
Okay. Thank you. Just ignore that. Okay. So, obviously, because Kibud Avayim is in Aseres HaDivros, so it appears in two different places in the Torah, right? It appears in Yisro, in the original narrative of Aseres HaDivros, and then it appears in Va'es Chanan when Moshe repeats the Aseres HaDivros. And it's always worth, even if you don't have anything advanced to say, and I don't, it's always worth matching up how it's written the first time and how it's written the second time. You know, we think to ourselves it's really only Shabbos that's written differently, Zohar and Shabbos. It's a lot of differences. Okay? So first let's just learn Pesukim. Okay? Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Aleph in Shmos, Kabeid et Avicha ve'et Imecha. Now, let's just do the easy one. How would you translate Kabeid?
Honor.
Good. Honor. At some point we want to figure out what does that mean to honor? Right, that's going to be the core. We'll try to do more halacha l'maisa today than we normally do, but I think that's something you have to think about. The word honor makes complete, you know, everybody goes, okay, honor. But now the question is, okay, what does that really mean? So, kabeh et avicha ve'et imecha. Don't have much to say on avicha ve'et imecha. Father first, you know, parents, but the mitzvah is to honor both, although you'll see there's a technical difference. Now, here's the strange part. That's strange or beautiful. The Torah rarely tells you the reward for a mitzvah. And here, the Torah says, Leman ya'arichun yamecha. So first of all, that would be enough for me. Why should you honor your parents? Because God will give you, ya'arichun yamecha presumably means God will give you a long life. But it doesn't stop there. Al ha'adama asher Hashem alokecha noten lach. Somebody translate.
On the earth.
Okay, so is it on the earth or is it somehow related to the land of Israel?
Land of Israel.
Okay, so then what do you
that's
do?
A little different.
Huh?
I mean, the earth is Israel. The
Ma
doesn't mean earth is Israel.
Right, well, I'm saying, L'man Yarichon Yamecha al Adama as opposed to on space.
He says L'cha.
Right? I'm trying to find some meaning. Between, you know, I understand Allah Adama. I understand that. Where else?
Bruce,
you should be.
You put Diet Coke and he brings.
Bruce should be humiliated.
I didn't give proper honor to somebody's birthday today?
Kanasora Bat David Svi.
Okay.
When was the last week?
December 25th? By the way, like, we have a Haredi wedding tonight in the family, and I'm like, what, Christmas? Okay, so back inside. All I want to point out is the two strange things. Nobody liked it so far. The two strange things. One is Laman Yarichun Yamecha. There's nothing wrong with that, but it falls into a category of what Halacha calls Mitzvot Shematan Scharan Bitzidan, meaning a mitzvah where the Torah tells you the reward for doing that mitzvah. We do not think that kibud av ha'em is more important than other mitzvahs because it says the reward. But, you know, at some point we should figure out, it's a fascinating thing, why is it that certain mitzvahs have the reward written next to them? Recently we've seen, for example, do this mitzvah, why? Because Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim.
Right.
Okay? Do this mitzvah, v'yareitam elokecha ani Hashem. Do this mitzvah, l'ma'an yarichun yamecha. Okay? It's just, I happen to be interested in this, and maybe one day we'll talk about it. The overwhelming majority of mitzvahs in the Torah are just written as mitzvahs, but occasionally there's an appendage to them. Okay? And I think that's interesting. And again, the question of al ha'adamah asher Hashem lekach notein lecha, or notein lach, we'll have to find some meaning to that. Because there is no, either it means Israel, or it
wherever
means the earth, which as far as I know is the only place God could give you a long life, because if you're not living here, you know, then
according to your theory there is Israel. That means technically you don't have to be covered as a Sevich of Emecha in Europe or anywhere else.
No, wrong. It would mean that you have to be covered as a Sevich of Emecha wherever, but the reward would be in Israel. It's not limiting where the mitzvah is, it's limiting where the award is. Now let's be clear. No one says what I say. And what are you going to do? You know, somebody was like the greatest son ever in Poland. He never saw Israel. He lived 110 years.
That's my question.
You know, I assume Mr. Weiser had incredible kibud av ha'em. The Feirush Pasuk says that's how you get a long life. Right? Okay. I'm just saying. Now, let's go to the next. Bruce is in charge of sheets.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm the brains. He's the brawn. Okay. Devarim Perek Hey. How does the Torah say it in Vaas Chanan? Kaved es avicha ves imecha. That's word for word. Ka'asher tzivcha Hashem alokecha. So what are we going to do with that? Ka'asher tzivcha Hashem alokecha. Well, the easiest thing is to say, as God commanded you back in Yisrael, the first time. But then it would say that every time, right? Because every one of the Aseres HaDibros is repeated in Vaas Chanan. So Rashi says, just so you know, Kashet Tzivcha Hashem Alokecha, that we got the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'em before Aseres HaDibros. Where did we get it? In Mara, right? Mm-hmm. We got Sham Sam Lo Choku Mishpat V'Sham Nisa. We got Kibud Av Va'em. We got Par Adum. We got Shabbos. Okay, fine. Now, back to where we are. Kashet Tzivcha Hashem Alokecha. L'ma'an ya'arichun yamecha. That's pretty similar. In fact, that's word for word from L'ma'an ya'arichun yamecha in the first go-around. U'lema'an yitavlach. Here you have something extra, right? L'ma'an ya'arichun yamecha u'lema'an yitavlach. But then you come back to the same thing. Al ha'adamo asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach. In the land that God gave you. Okay? So the only real difference is l'ma'an yitavlach. Like, what is that in addition to? If you ask me, I would say l'ma'an yarichun yamecha means you'll live a long life. L'ma'an yitavlach means not only will you live a long life, but you'll live a wonderful, good, fulfilling life. Okay, those are the psukim.
But al ha'adama, is that on the earth or is that Eretz Yisrael?
Okay, well, whatever we're going to say in the first luchos, we're going to say in the second luchos, right? There's no reason to distinguish between them. It's just interesting to point out that it exists in both. The reward exists in both, and the fact that the reward will be granted al ha'adama. Now, let's go to the Rambam, our mitzvah. Source number two, mitzvah taseh reish yud, v'amitzvah ha-reish yud, hi shetzivanu lechabed av va'em. We are commanded, we'll just use the word we don't understand, to honor our parents. V'u amaro yitaleh kabed et avicha v'et imecha. U'kvar hitba'aru mishpitei mitzvah zo v'mekamot min ha-talmud v'rubo v'ikaro b'kdushin. Most of this stuff is explained in the Gemara, in Kishra, primarily v'lashon sifra. The Rambam quotes a Midrash Halacha, and it's going to try to answer our first question. Ezehu kavod, what does it mean to honor your parents? Okay? So the Sifra says, ma'achil u'mashke, you feed and give drink, malbish u'mechase, you dress, you know, and cover up, machnis u'motzi. Okay? These are all sort of physical acts. Physical, quantifiable acts. What does it mean? So, if this is the only source we have, and to extend it's the most important source we have, what does honoring mean? It doesn't mean telling people how great your mother is.
Right.
I have the greatest mother in the world. Apparently, it means
it's an actual deed.
Right, giving her dinner and taking care of her. Which, again, on the one hand, I just want to point out. Yeah, we have to. I think we're all of a certain age where we imagine if your parents are alive, they're old. Okay, maybe more of us imagine it on the receiving end than on the giving end. But the problem with this is that it makes it seem like you're really not in a position to do the mitzvah of kibud avayim until, I don't know, you're in your 20s. Right when you're bar mitzvah, you don't take your father in and out. Your father's in his 40s. Right? It's hard to know. This definition of kibud avayim works really well for me right now. My parents are older. My father in particular. I actually do these things. But I don't think I ever did them. Till the last 6 or 7 years.
Is there nowhere it says like to listen to them?
So,
which is the typical.
I just want to start someplace. It doesn't. First of all, there's no place that it says to listen, but there might be. Okay. But here, if we had to start building a definition, we ask the question: what is it to honor? If we had to start building a definition from the sources, it sounds like the place you start is by actual, you know, objective physical acts. Okay, dressing and covering and all these things. Again. That strikes me as being incredibly limited. And also, you know, look at it in a strange way, okay? You're 15, you're 20, your parents are perfectly healthy, right? You start picking your father up, your father's like, what are you doing? I'm fine. Yeah, but it's a mitzvah, right? Like, you know, it's hard, right? The problem with quantifying these actions is that they're kind of subjective, and they don't always work, right? You know, your father's sitting there, you bring him a tea. He's like, why? It's a mitzvah, but I don't want a tea. No, drink the tea. It's a mitzvah. So it's problematic. It's problematic, but we have to start somewhere. And presumably, maybe to make this more positive, I suppose what you do with it is to say the following, that it wouldn't be enough to just tell everybody how much you love your parents, how much you respect your parents, how much you owe your parents. It would have to be expressed in some,
physical way.
Right, some physical way. And maybe the short answer is, these are just examples that don't always apply. Right, what's the big mitzvah of kibud avim? Maybe it's picking your parents up at the airport, instead of having them take a cab. Right? It's not listed in the Sifra, but if I had to take the Sifra and turn it into something, I would turn it into, you know, actual positive physical acts that you could point to, and say, you know, this is what I did for my parents, as opposed to just amorphous, okay?
Well, I was going to say, it's bringing them a drink, or their hat, or whatever, or when they ask you to do so.
Right, but it just doesn't say that. But I can't imagine that you're wrong. Your father says to you, can you bring me a tea? So, of course, that's...
You say, no, Dad, I'm watching TV.
Right, so I'm saying, of course, let's not make this biographical. So, of course... Of course, that's the mitzvah, right? What I take away from the Sifra is that it has to be. You could, if you love your, do it this way, okay? Your parents live in New Jersey, whatever, and you live in Israel. So if this is the only definition we have, that kind of locks you out. There's not that much you could do physically for your parents if you're not there, or you know your parents have an aide. So does that mean okay? Let's play with these ideas. So, let's touch on Bruce's idea now. This Gemara number 3, the Gemara Yevamos, Vav Amud Aleph, which gets quoted a lot, could be what Bruce is talking about. The Brisa says as follows, Yachol Amar Lo Aviv Hitama. Let's say you're a Kohen, and your father tells you, you know, go into a cemetery, which is probably also.
He's also a Kohen.
Osha Amar Lo Al Tavzir, or he told you, you know, don't return that object. Uh-huh. Right? You have a mitzvah saseh of Hashem Asabeh, don't return the object. Yachol Yishama Lo Talmud Lomar Ish Imova Aviv Tiro Ve'et Shab Totai Tishmo. Next mitzvah. Kulchem Chayavim Bichvodim. Okay, so the Gemara says, but what you learn from the Gemara is a simple halacha, that if your parents ask you to violate Torah law, right, we pass also rabbinic law, the answer is no. You don't have to listen to them. Why not? Because ish imov aviv tiro v'etshav shati tishmo ani Hashem, there's a higher authority, okay? They're chayav in keeping the Torah, So therefore, they can't ask you to violate keeping the Torah.
This introduces a whole new other idea of listening to what your parents say.
That's what I just said. I'm saying that's exactly why I'm bringing this Gemara. It has the same reward. You're absolutely right. I'm not bringing this Gemara to talk about the specific halacha. I'm bringing this Gemara because the assumption in the Gemara is that listening to your parents is a mitzvah. That part of keeping it. So the Gemara has a drasha. There are exceptions to that rule.
Is there a clash of values when they do come into conflict? I mean, your father, for some reason, his wallet is in the cemetery. I don't know, for some reason, and he has to give a tzedakah with, or pay your, whatever it is. He asks you to go. Is there a right to question, is there a bunny issue? Sometimes where...
Oh, there could be. Maybe we'll get there. It's off the topic right now. But this
like
is your
cemetery case.
But this is your point. The idea is he just told you not to. You're saying, what if you're a Cohen and your father tells you to go into the cemetery to get back his wallet that fell there? Okay.
How come his wallet fell there?
His wife took it.
Okay, stop. We're getting off the topic. What we've seen is there are two different approaches so far. One is kibud av va'em are definitive acts, right? That you could try to quantify objectively, although it will never work. The other is no listening to your parents.
Well, leading an honorable life.
Well, but we didn't see that yet. We didn't see that. Let me just finish this, and then you'll go. Meaning, anything your parents ask you to do automatically results in the possibility of a mitzvah saseh, min ha-Torah, of kibud av va'em, right? Unrelated to the value of the, you know, of the act. Its value is because your parents ask you to do it, and for nothing else. So, you know, you think of, I'm just trying to think of a meaningless act that has no benefit whatsoever, but becomes a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah.
Right, turn off the TV.
Turn off the TV. Turn on the TV. But again, there, it's maybe it's just at my point. You know, yeah. Let's say, okay, your father asks you to pass you something across the table. It would take him 2 seconds, you know, to lean all the way over and get it. But maybe that becomes a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah of kibud av va'em, not because of the value in the act, but because your father asked you for it, and therefore, okay, so. Two categories. Now, living an honorable life, I think that's a real value, but I don't. Where does that become part
of
kibud av va'em?
You don't want to embarrass your parents by leading a dishonorable life.
Okay. So you're saying becoming a doctor is a mitzvah saseh kibud av va'em.
That's
what your mother always wanted.
No, you're not becoming a doctor. Just don't get involved in gambling or all the stuff that's going
like
to bring
you
down.
Right. So that's. Let's take a minute to talk about that. The problem with quantifying this is, would you say that every time you disappoint your parents in any way, that's a bitul mitzvah saseh? That's a heavy load to carry, right?
Yeah.
You know, if I don't call my mother to wish her good Shabbos, right?
She
that's
won't
hard.
Be happy.
That's a bitul mitzvah saseh. Yeah. And maybe when I, you know, if I disappoint them, I'm afraid of saying that. See, I'm much more comfortable saying if you don't call your mother, that's a bitul mitzvah saseh, than saying if you get fired from your job and your mother's embarrassed by you, you're mevatel mitzvah saseh. I mean, that's just life.
Harvey wants his mother's not happy with him.
Okay. Okay. Let's.
He should have thought
now,
about that.
Let's ask.
I did want to ask.
Sure.
So
it should be relative to the mitzvah of kibud av va'em.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That mitzvah in the context of a friend. So you have a lot of people here who are the children, parents.
Everybody, I say 100%. I don't want to go overboard.
Especially today, right?
Right.
So, of children of parents in the U.S.
Okay.
Speaking of children, look at
right. Yeah. So I mentioned that before. It's physical acts.
No, so
right. Okay, so that's the question Bruce asked, which I don't really want to deal with right now, but maybe we'll deal with that at the end, which is that similar to your parent? The Gemara says if your parents ask you to violate a Torah law, you don't have to do it. So is it as simple as that? If you think that Aliyah is a Torah law, It's very comic. I can tell you this. I thought Rav Lichtenstein talked about this more than once, and he thought in the end you could make aliyah against your parents' wishes, but you had to do everything you could to kind of mitigate your pain. Just like he thought you could get married to somebody against your parents' wishes, but again, yeah, you have to do as much as you can to mitigate it.
I don't want to. I want to note this to you and the other members of the bar, and that is, of course, best efforts in some jurisdictions is heaven and earth. Somewhere, wake up in the morning.
Okay, but by the way, that's a good point. I don't know. It's a good question to ask whether best efforts plays any role in this. Is it just the end? You either called your mother or you didn't. Right? It's not, I try. You either called or you didn't. Okay, now, let's go to the Ramban, who's going to touch on something interesting, and it might help us put some of this in context, certainly the Psukim. When you look at, everybody knows this idea, when you look at Aseres HaDibros, which we believe really were given as Shtei Luchot, right? So everybody knows that the first five are Beinorim Lamakom, right? And the last five are Beinorim Chavero. Except for number five itself, which is Kibud Avaim, right? And probably everybody's heard this idea that Kibud Avaim kind of serves as the bridge between the Bein Olam Lamakoms to the Bein Olam Lachavera, right? And I think that's 1,000% true. The Ramban, who I don't think made it up, but he's going to try to make this point and more. Says the Ramban in source number 4 on Aseres HaDibros in Yisrael. Hine hishlim kol ma she'anu chayavim b'divrei haborei ba'atzmo u'bikvodo. With the first four dibros being finished, right? So, anochi Hashem lo yelecha elohim acharim al panai, lo sisa Hashem Hashem v'kodesh hashav, shamor es yom hashavos v'kadesho. Those four are between us and God. V'chazar litzavot otanu b'inyanei hanivrei. So now God starts to command us about Inyanei HaNivraim, that's Beinom L'Chaveru, people who are created. V'hitchil min ha'av, but I think when he says av, he means both parents in this context, just to be clear. Shehu l'toldotav ki inyan borei mishtatef b'yitzira. He says, why does he move on? Why is the first Beinom L'Chaveru a parent? Because a parent is godlike in the sense that God created us, but how did God create us? He used our parents to create us. So therefore, there needed to be, you know, that's the transition, third line, Ki Hashem Avinu Harishon, God is our first father, V'hamolid Avinu Ha'acharon. And our physical parents are our last parents. They're the people who actually, you know, created us. Ulekach amar b'mishne Torah. That's why in the second luchos it says, "Ka'asher tzivisicha bichvodi, kein anochi mitzavecha bichvod hamishtatef imi b'tziratcha." Okay, that's something we completely missed. Go back up to the top to source number one. Look at the second one. Dvarim Parakei. Kabed asavicha v'esimecha. Ka'asher tzivicha Hashem alokecha. The Ramban says it means honor your parents the way I commanded you to honor me. It doesn't mean, as like Rashi says, like I was commanded some other place or before. It means there's an inherent connection between our obligation to honor God and our obligation to honor our parents. Now, okay? So the first thing is, you know, parents are in place of God, and the transition between Bein Olam Lamakom to Bein Olam Lachaveru happens through the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim, because the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim is maybe the only mitzvah in the Torah that's shared between God and humanity. Right? We're chayev to honor God, we're chayev to honor our parents. Now, the question is, how substantive is that? Right? God doesn't need me to bring him a cup of tea. Right? This is where, you know, maybe the halach lemaisa stuff comes about. So he says, in the last two words on the fourth line, V'lo piresh hakatuv hakavod. The pasuk doesn't give you any clue as to how you're supposed to honor your parents. Shehu nilmad min hakavod hane'emar lemala be'av harishon yitbarach. He says, but the hint that you get in the psukim is how you're supposed to honor your parents in a way, the way you're supposed to honor God. Now, Here it gets strange, although I think I can explain, but I'm not 100% sure. Okay? Now, what's the number one way... Okay, no peeking. You're peeking. What's the number one way to honor God?
Keeping the mitzvahs.
Wrong. The number one way.
Listen to him. Don't mitzvahs.
No, the number one way. What does that mean?
You accept.
Yes. You acknowledge that there's one God, that He's the God. All the other stuff is secondary to that. Right? That's the first of the Dibros. So, incredibly, the Ramban says, how do you honor your parents? Sheyodebo shehu aviv. First thing is, you acknowledge, as if it's like some kind of chiddush.
Perhaps if you don't know who your father is.
Well, then you can't do it.
I don't know.
Don't worry.
Okay? Sheyodebo shehu aviv.
For the likely candidate.
Velo yachpor bo lomar al adam acher shehu aviv. Okay, that's just completely bizarre to me. That the number one thing is to acknowledge that he's your father. Acknowledge that she's
as
your
if
mother.
You would not.
So, the only sense I could give to this is that sometimes, if you're not proud of your parents, so, I don't know, you kind of move over to the side when your father is, not with my father ever, but, I grew up in a shtiebel, okay? One of those, the number one thing I understood as a child growing up in a shtiebel is that Orthodox Jews fight. over everything. Over herring, over avarachamim, over everything. So I remember as a kid, if your father's fighting with somebody, you kind of you head for the door because you're not in that moment very proud of your father. I don't know. It's hard to, it's hard to know what to make of this, but the Ramban thinks... I think there must be something deeper, to acknowledge that he's your father is to feel a real bond. And to not feel like it's a coincidence. Okay, I happen to have these parents. No, I am who I am because of my parents. Okay? V'lo yachpor bo lomar al adam acher shehu aviv. Again, this is wild stuff. And that, it'd be an issur d'oraisa to say that somebody else is your father. I don't know how this would be or who would do it.
Stepfather.
Okay, but that your stepfather, that's a fair definite. If you say someone is your stepfather, it means he's not my biological father.
Do the same rules apply to him?
I don't think so, but let's see. V'lo ya'avdenu k'ben li'irushato. Now it gets better. He says, you don't worship your father, or you don't do things for your father, because ultimately somebody's going to, be the winner when the will is read. And so, you want to get in there, which again is exactly parallel to you don't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Right, but what's the first part of Shabbat? Mishameshet Rabo Shelo Almanat Lekabel Pras. Okay? O Le'inyan Acher Sheyitzapem, or for any other benefit that you think your parents might give you. That's first. Now, V'lo Yisa Shem Aviv. You don't say your parents' name for no reason, and you certainly don't swear in their name, which of course is exactly like Lo Tisad Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. Right? He's making them parallel. He says, obviously, honoring your parents includes many more things. The Ramban seems to say anything which constitutes honor for your parents fits within the category of the mitzvah of kibud avaim. Umeforashim hein b'divrei rabotenu u'kvar amru shehukash kvodo l'chvod hamakom. Okay, that your parents, the honoring for your parents, is connected to honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now again, I just point out the obvious. Since part of the definition of who God is that He has no needs, you have to play with this, because it obviously can't be the same. But it's interesting to at least follow the model. The Ramban thinks that the transition in Aseres HaDibros is that parents, are the transition from Bein Adam LaMakom to Bein Adam LaChaveiro, and substantively, your relationship with your parents is supposed to be modeled on your relationship with God. Now, the last line, the Ramban says, "V'ka'asher ha-mitzvah hazot hi batachtonim, because the mitzvah is only fulfillable on this earth, right? Only human beings have parents. Kein natan schara ba'arichut yamim ba'aretz asher yiten lanu. The Ramban thinks the drasha in the, when the pasuk says leman yarichun yamecha al ha'adama, it's just the way, it's like a literary device of saying, well, of course, there's what exists in Shamayim, but what exists in Shamayim doesn't allow for a mitzvah of kibud avayim. All you have in Shamayim is honoring God, to the extent you have that in Shamayim. When it says, he'll be ma'arich yamim al ha'adama, it literally means on this earth. Not the land of Israel, but on this earth, as opposed to when you're in Shamayim, when the mitzvah is not accessible anymore. Okay? I think it's a wonderful drasha, and it explains a very strange phrase in the psukim of why the reward is, you know, al ha'adama. Whether it explains l'man yarichun yamecha will depend, I think, on whether the concept of kibud av ha'em can exist after your parents are no longer alive. What?
Ramban says, ba'aretz asher yiten lanu.
The Ramban doesn't say that. The pasuk says, "Alo Adama Hashem Shel Kecha Noten Lach."
Then Ramban repeats the
Okay. But he doesn't explain it that way. That's not what the Ramban says. But that you can't say that's what you can say that's what the Ramban says if he doesn't say. Kedarkecha Bakodesh. You can't talk now because we discussed this already. Okay, we discussed how l'man yarichun yamecha al ha'adama asher Hashem alokecha notein lach sounds like it means the land of Israel, but it's hard to understand how that could be for people who never lived in the land of Israel. And I don't think that's what the Ramban said.
Isn't this a negative mitzvah? I mean, all the mitzvot in the Yetzirah the Dibra, except for the first one, according to
there's a positive mitzvah.
Are all negative mitzvot?
Yeah, don't. This is
the last five are. The first one, Shabbos, isn't a negative.
The first one
is positive. The second one is negative. The third one is negative. The fourth one is positive. The fifth one is positive. 6 through 10 are negative, but it's not true that they're all negative.
Is he specifically limiting the responsibility to not carry out kibbutz after death?
No, I don't think so. But look again. If you want to speculate, why is there a reward of Arichut Yamim? Which is a dangerous question to ask, because as Mr. Levy pointed out before, Arichut Yamim is given for Kan Tzipor. But one thing I would say, if I didn't know any better, I would say is, well, you could only do the mitzvah, but it's true about all mitzvahs, so it's wrong, I'm sorry.
What about saying Kaddish?
We will see that there is a mitzvah of kibud avayim after your parents pass away. Right. In halacha, it's not expressed in the context of Kaddish, although it could be. It's expressed more in the context of quoting your parents by name when you say something that they said, or, you know, I learned this from my parents. And it could be that using words like zatzal, or hareini kaparat mishkavo, or things like that, is part of, you know, that sense of...
It wouldn't be learning of your physical act.
We have to ask ourselves...
Because that's just speech.
I don't know about it. Yeah, but that... It's so weird that you think that lighting a candle is more important than...
No, I'm just wondering if it is.
No, I think the opposite. I think to call your father Zatzal or Zichron Olev Racha, it's much more meaningful than lighting a candle.
Yeah, well, dealing with a burial, for instance.
Yeah, but that's a mitzvah of kvur. So maybe...
that's also
a kibbutz.
Right, I agree with you. Presumably that's got to be the case. Okay, let's look at the chinuch now. A little more philosophy before we get to the hardcore halacha. We'll ask the question before we look inside. What's the rationale behind, you know, into what category of mitzvahs does the mitzvah of kibud av ha'em fall? So presumably, again, it's right on the edge, but it's a mitzvah benom l'chaveiro. But why? Let's just say simple things. Why is there a mitzvah? So you could say, I don't know, it's like any other mitzvah. God wants me to honor my parents. Or you could say the obvious thing, which is, you owe your parents so much. It's not some narrowly religious mitzvah. It's hakarat hatov. It's why, presumably, Gentiles have a concept of honoring parents, right? They don't have a concept because from the Torah. They have a concept because it's just, you know, acknowledging what they did. So look at the chinuch.
But Esav did it better than Yaakov.
Look at the chinuch. Source number 5. Mishar she mitzvah zo. The rationale for the mitzvah. Shera'uy lo le'adam sheyakir v'yigmol chesed l'misha asa imo tova. Right? First line is simple. You owe your parents. Right? You have to be makir tov. Your parents took care of you. So therefore, you have to honor them. V'lo yihye naval u'mitnaker u'kfuy tova. And you should not be, you know, a lowlife and pretend, you know, and basically, you know, reject or deny all the goodness that your parents did to you. Shezo mida ra'a u'me'usa b'tachlit lifnei Elokim va'anashim. He said, this is to reject, to repay, you know, good with something less than good. To not acknowledge the debt that you owe your parents. To not be grateful for what they gave them. It's a disgusting quality, says the Sefer HaChinuch. It's a disgusting quality religiously, lifnei Elokim. It's a disgusting quality lifnei anashim, in human beings. Nothing to do with religion, right? A person who doesn't acknowledge, you know, that somebody gave him a start in business and something he made the... It's just, he's a bad person. Okay. V'sheyitein elibo, he should focus on, ki ha'av v'ha'em heim sibat heyoto ba'olam. Right? It's as true a statement as can be. If it wasn't for your parents, you would not exist. Okay? Va'al kein, therefore, be'emet, in truth, ro'uy lo la'asot lohem kol kavod v'chol to'elet sheyuchal, ki heim hevi'uhu la'olam. So just based on that, even if, you know, this is going to get to the question of what if your father is a Rasha? What if your mother's an evil person, God forbid?
Or you're adopted, one second. You know them.
So the chinuch says, or maybe the adapt thing also, the chinuch says, on some basic level, you exist because of them. And that's a debt that you have to repay. I think he's saying unrelated to whether they did a good job or not of bringing you up. Simply, if you could say to yourself, I would... You know, think of any other category in life. If you could say to yourself, I would not have the job that I have, I would not have the house that I have, you know, if it wasn't for this person, that statement means I'm makir tov to this person and I owe him something. So if the answer is I wouldn't exist if it weren't for these people, so the short answer is, you know. Now, but in addition, he says in the fourth line in the middle, it's not just they brought you into the world, he says, min astam, Gam yagu bo kama yigiyot bekatnuto. They probably got up in the middle of the night to feed you. They probably changed your diapers. It's probably, you know, aside from bringing you into the world, they probably did a lot to, you know, to help you get along. Ukishe yikva zot hamida benafsho. Now, here's fascinating. He says, a person who teaches himself to really have respect for his parents because of what he owes his parents, Ya'ale mimena lahakir tovat hakel baruch hu. He will, of necessity, the natural extension of, my parents brought me into this world, so therefore I owe them, is, well, what about God? Right? If I really take seriously the fact that God is also kind of a super father, then it will lead to respect to God. Shehu sibato v'sibat kol avotav ad adam harishon. God is the cause of not just you and your parents, but all your forefathers. V'shahotzio la'avir ha'olam v'sipek tzarko kol yamav. God, ki'ilu, has supported you your whole life. V'ha'emido al matkumto u'shleimut evarav. God gave you your health. V'natan bo nefesh yodat u'misakelet. God gave you a soul that understands and has intelligence. She'ilulei ha'nefesh shechananu hakel. If God hadn't given you a nefesh, you kesus kiperet ein havin. Right? We would be like unthinking animals. V'ya'aroch b'machshavto kama v'kama ra'uy lo lehizaher ba'avodato baruch hu. So, what the chinuch does, is kind of takes the Ramban's idea and works it backwards. One second. The Ramban's idea is, okay, you have all these obligations to God, the transition to obligations to human beings is via kibud avayim. Okay? It's simple. Says the chinuch, it's true, but it also works in the other direction. A person who could teach himself the midah of kibud av va'em, by extension, will teach himself to have anochi Hashem Elokecha and lo tisad Hashem Hashem Elokecha lashav. Right? Because if you teach yourself to be makir tov to your parents for either one of two reasons, physically they brought you into the world, and or beyond that, they actually took care of you. Well, if you recognize that in your parents, so of course you would recognize that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the idea then of kibud av va'em being a transition, it's not just a literary transition, it's a substantive transition. That the respect we have for God carries over to our children, to our parents, and the respect we have for our parents carries over to God. Mr. Weiser.
Does this apply for grandchildren also, and great-grandchildren?
Yeah, I wanted to avoid it. The answer is yes. The answer is yes on
relevant.
Some... what?
Him is relevant.
Wait, it's only great-grandchildren? You're not up to great-great?
20 great.
Huh?
Great.
No, but showing the grandfather respects your own father.
Yeah.
His father.
Look, it's clear the substantive answer is yes. The technical answer of how much kibud av va'em, it definitely goes up. You know... There might be technicals. We'll get to the halacha now.
How about your father, though?
Huh?
How about your father?
Yeah, so
that. Your
father.
Look.
No. He's lost for words. I've never seen it.
No, because yesterday at the funeral, it was a very beautiful moment. The son-in-law spoke, and he said that his in-laws said, you know, to him, "We raised her for you." I was very moved.
That is very moving. Yeah.
You know, I was very moved by, you know, whatever. I had a good father, although he. Okay, I have a funny tzvah. My father was a huge Talmud Chacham, and he had like this funny tzvah Torah, but not for now. Let's do halacha. Okay, all of this is. I just tried to stick as much as I could on the page, picking the most interesting ones out. Wow. In Yaradeya, there's a lot of hilchos kibud av va'em. Okay, that touch on a lot of specifics. So I tried to sort of just gather ones that I thought would be interesting to us.
Was your focus biological or raising?
So again, the first part is biological. The fact that they brought you into this world, that's your biological parents. The second part, being makir tov for all the things they did to help you grow up, obviously that transfers to adoptive parents, you know, and what have you.
Well, I think Bruce's point was, what's somebody...
Bruce never needs help. There are other people here who he could stand up for.
What if somebody puts out a lot of money because of shoes running right after this one in the last few weeks?
Okay.
So what if somebody puts out a lot of money, and it could be hundreds of thousands?
Wait, he gets paid? The next guy gets hundreds of thousands of dollars?
It's a secret.
Okay.
But he puts a lot of work. It's a 10-page handout.
What an idiot I am.
IVF treatments, so they, of course, quote, brought, unquote, you into this world.
Right. Okay. So you have huge hakaras hatov to them. I agree.
Because they may not...
I agree. There might be a difference between adoptive parents who didn't bring you into the world, but brought you up. Look, again, if a core value is hakaras hatov, who would have any doubt about adoptive parents? Like, I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, I was told you said Shiva for the biological.
There are technical issues, but you're...
a separate issue.
Yes, but who told you that the narrow rules of Avelus are commensurate with the rules of Kibud Av Va'em? There's no reason to think so. Right? In our minds, we think, oh, if you have Kibud Av Va'em, so, I'm not sure that that's true. Okay, here we go. Yeah. First, what's the halacha? Says the Mechaber in Simon Reish Mem in Yoredeya, Ezehu Kavod, how do we paskin? What is honoring? Ma'achilo u'mashkeu, right? We saw food and drink. Ma'albishu mechaseh, machnisu motzi. Now, listen to this. This is the halacha. This isn't a good advice. He says, although it's really good advice. V'yitnenu lo b'sever panim yafot. Do it with a smile. Do it not out of a sense of obligation. Again, this isn't a musar sefer. This is the mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. Right? And we all know that feeling. Like, okay, I do it, but it's wearing me out, and I'm exhausted, and part of the halacha is do it b'sever panim yafot, sha'afilu ma'achilo b'chol yom pitumot, v'hera lo panim zo'afot, ne'enash alav. Which I think means, even if you gave him steak, lamb chops, every day, But you do it, you know, with the, to use a word my grandmother, you with the fabisin of punim.
I don't understand Yiddish, right? But I know what that means.
Right, you
know.
Okay. So it gets undermined, which I think he's saying is, when you focus only on objective acts, you know, if I do, you're missing the point. It has to be done, you know, in a warm, supportive way. Otherwise, you're undermining what you're supposed to do. Haggah says the Ramah into the second line, v'chein lehefech, the opposite. This is unbelievable. Im matchin aviv berechayim. It means your father has to do like physical labor, but you give your father physical labor to do. But v'kavanato l'tova, k'dei sheyinatzel aviv midvar kasher yoter mizeh. Let's say your father says, you know, okay, push me to shul. But you know the doctor said he has to walk. Right? So on the one hand, like, what could be a bigger violation of kibbutz avayim than refusing to push your father in a wheelchair to shul and making him walk
you
when he's tired?
To shul.
What, I pushed you to shul, it's true. But that's because I didn't like you. No. So you got the car. Which, does everybody know he named it after me?
Oh, yeah.
I used to push Mr. Levy to shul. Then he got one of those SoMet scooters, so I didn't have to do it anymore. And he named it...
Ellie.
Now, in fairness, it may have been after me, or it may have been... There's no other Ellie in your life? No. Okay, fine. It was
you
after
named
me.
The gorilla.
Fine.
Yeah,
you're
right. Fine.
Okay, but out. Just egging him on. Okay. So, umedaber. So, the answer is, you are allowed to force your parents to do physical things, so long as you're really doing it, you know, l'shem shamayim. But, umedaber piyusim alev aviv, you have to speak supportively to your father. Umarello shekavanato l'tova. You have to say, Abba, listen, I'd love to push you in a wheelchair. But the doctor says, you know, ad sheyitratze aviv litchon berechaim, till the father wants to, I don't know, lift weights or do whatever it is. and then, nochel olam haba v'yisham shenu b'shad. Okay, leave that. So the first thing is, first important rule is, whatever you do, you have to do b'sever panim yafo, and not out of a sense of obligation. Second thing is, don't be so focused on the individual act, because sometimes, bizarrely, the mitzvah of kibud av ha'em could be fulfilled by forcing your mother to do something that she doesn't want to do. But if you really believe it, and he qualifies it by saying, you have to say to them, you can't do it meanly, you have to say to them, Abba, that's what the doctor says, you know, we got to try. Okay, next, si'if hey. Now, this goes to a very interesting question, which is, who has to pay? Mm-hmm. Okay, who, you know, if you have to feed, and you have to clothe, and you have to do all these things, who pays? So it says the Mechaber, Sif He. Zeshem ma'achilo u'mashkehu, that which you have to clothe him and feed him, mishel av va'ein im yeshlo. Very interesting. If your parents have money, then you're entitled to do the mitzvah of kibud av va'ein with their money.
And okay. It's still a mitzvah. Huh? That's why.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
It's still your... Okay.
So right away, you see, it's not the spending of the money. By the way, in both directions, maybe, right. You know, your parents live in America, so you send a check. Right? I assume that's a good thing, but maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not enough. Let's see. Wow. V'im ein la'av, v'yesh l'ben. Okay, your father has no money, but the son is rich. Kofin oto, v'zan aviv kefi mashehu yachol. So then, the Bezdin, kind of, it's a little questionable, but it sounds like we could try to force the son to support the father. That's the first chiddush. The second chiddush is, kefi mashehu yachol. It really could be that a person with no money could be mekayem the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, right, at a level that a person with a lot of money, it wouldn't count. Right? That could just be the case. If the children are struggling to pay their bills, you know, and they buy some basic stuff for the parents, okay, that's a mitzvah same in a Torah. But, you know, Bill Gates, if he buys basic stuff for his parents, the halacha could be, no, that's not the mitzvah for him. V'imein lo, v'imein lebein. Now, the child doesn't have money. Eino chayav lachazer al aptachim lachir et aviv. Interestingly, he's not chayav to go collect stucco money. Right? It's not that it's wrong to do it, but you're not chayav to do that. Meaning, it sounds like you can feed your family before you feed your parents. That's a more primary obligation. Hagah, says the Ramah. This is another interesting halacha. Vim yesh lo banim rabim. Okay, so now, all the children hate the parents, God forbid. No, so, you know, Bezdin or somebody steps in and says, no, the children have to do this. So how do you, you know, there are four children. So is this 25% apiece? Or again, you know, Elon Musk is one of the children. And the other ones are just regular, you know,
sons and daughters equal in this.
I think so. So he says, "Im yesh lo banim rabim mechashvim lefi mamon shelahem." It has to do with the level of income. "V'im miktzatam ashirim u'miktzatam aniyim mechuyavim ha'ashirim levad." If two sons are poor and two sons are rich, the rich sons have to carry the entire load. But very important, he says, this is to the poor people, I think. "Aval chayav lechabdo begufo." But nobody gets out of kibud begufo, which doesn't cost any money, right? That means washing him and feeding him and cutting his meat and, you know, dressing him, all these things. That is unrelated to money. Afal pi shemitoch kach batel mimelach tov yitzterech lechazer al aptachim. Now, everybody knows that time is money, right? So every time you go to your parents to help them, if you have to take off from work, it's going to cost you money. So the halacha seems to be, if you have no money, the rich brothers or the rich sisters have to be responsible for it. But even if that's the case, you still have to show up for your regular turn of duty in terms of taking care of the parents, even if it's going to cost you income because you're not going to get paid for that day. Now again, I left out, there are a lot of technical issues. If you really have no food for your children at all, then they come first. You don't have to take care of your parents. But again, you see that this is a mitzvah that's not objective in the sense that your monetary obligation is probably based on how much money you have. Okay, let's go on.
Well, does Shalom Bayit play a role? You want to take a vacation, but you
no. So I'm sure. So for sure that's like wrong. Look, Shalom Bayit plays in, but I think there's no question that you want to take a cruise, but your father's having surgery. You know,
no, it wasn't that dramatic, but
no, but it's easy to do in dramatic ways. Now, here's a fascinating halacha, which is really, really hard to internalize. Sif chet ad heichan kibud avayim. What's the extent? What's the outer limit of kibud avayim? So says the mechaber. Afilu nitalo kis shel zehuvim shelo. Your father took your wallet, v'hishlicho befanav leyam, and he threw it into the water. Okay. Lo yachlimem velo yitzaer bifnehem velo yichos kinegdam. Don't scream at him. Don't show anger. I don't know how a person could do this, right? Ela yikabel gzeirat hakatuv v'yishtok. Okay, now, it's not as clear as that, because the Ramah says, Hagah, v'yesh omrim de'im rotzel lizrok ma'ot shel ben layam de'achol limono. If you could stop him from throwing your wallet into the ocean, you're allowed to. It's only after the fact. It's interesting halacha. The Ramah says, "Wait, we paskin that you don't have to be that if the father has money, right? He has to pay, not the son. So of course, the father can't just take your wallet and throw it into the sea because you don't have to be mechaved him with your money if he has money." So okay, so it sounds like halacha lemaisa, as bizarre as it is, you could try to stop your father from throwing your wallet out, but once he throws it out, you can't yell at him.
Jared Kushner had to visit his father in jail. That's kibud av, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sure he knew that.
By the way, if the father does it, though, you have to figure dementia.
Okay, right. Okay, so that could be also. Let's keep going, but we're not going to finish. Here's the interesting halacha. Sif tet. I mentioned this before. Chayav lechabdo afilu achar moto. The mitzvah continues even after the death of your parents. Ketzat. How does it work? Hayom er dvar shmua mipiv. If you're going to quote your mom, who said, you know, it's going to be a better day if you make your bed in the morning. Omer kach amar abba mari harini kaparat mishkavo. So you say, you repeat it in his name,
and with the proper appellation. Imhu tov shnei masa chodesh. That's only for the first 12 months. Vimulacha shnei masa chodesh, omer zichrono livracha. Right, the phrase hareini kaprat mishkavo expires after 1 year. And you just say zichrono livracha. Haga. Ve'ein chiluk ben eim la'av b'chol zeh. Okay, we're looking for that line. There it is. Says the Rama, there's no difference between that and ma. Okay. Sif yud, this was mentioned before. Alzheimer's. Or, you know. Misha nitrifa dat aviv o imo. Okay, what do you do? They, you know, this is the throwing your wallet into the sea. They're no longer thinking clearly. Mishtadel, you try. Linhogi mahem kifi da'atam. Adshe yirucham alehem. You try to act in an appropriate way for people, you know, I guess even people who are losing, you know, clear thought. You can relate to them as well as you can. V'miyev shalo la'amod mipnei shenishtagu biyoter. If you can't pick your father up at all because he's lost all kinds of ability and thought. Yelech lo v'yanichem v'yitzaveh la'acherim l'nahagam kira'ui. This is painful. I think this is what it means. I can't tell you for sure, but I think this is what it means. If your parents no longer know that it's you, and you can't help them at all, so it transfers a little bit, meaning in all other cases, it's always better for you to do it. Okay, in the end, you know, you need help, but it's always better for you to do it. But it could be that there's a point in time in which, you know, putting them in a nursing home is the right choice. Even though it limits your ability to do it avayim, because you can no longer do all those physical things. But at some point,
well, don't they become your shlichim?
I don't. There are, you know, the mitzvah is mitzvah bo yosem ibishlucho. There's no question that, you know, my father has a guy named JR now. He's fantastic. But when I'm around, I want to do it, right? You know, yes, we arrange for JR or whatever, but he's still. There's no question it's much better for you to do it yourself, and it's a bigger mitzvah. Okay? Now, next one. Si'if Yud Aleph. Ra'a aviv sha'avar al divrei Torah. Just interesting. You see your father doing something wrong. Okay, it could happen. What do you do? Lo yomar lo avarto al divrei Torah. Right? You don't say to your father, shegitz. Ela yomar lo, you say, Abba, Katuv batara kach kach. You don't criticize him. You simply mention the fact that there is such a halacha. Ki ilu hu shoel mimenu velo kemaziro. Or as if you say to your father, wait, isn't there a halacha that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos?
Yes, give him a chance to teach you.
Vehu yavin ba'atzmo velo yitbayesh. Then if you do it right, he'll understand on his own, and he won't be embarrassed. V'imhaya omer shmua b'taut, lo yomar lo, lo titni hachi. Right? You don't correct your father if he's saying something that's wrong. Okay, fine. Sif yudalid. This is really interesting. Aviv omer lo, hashkeni mayim. V'imo omeret, hashkeni mayim. Okay? You have to pick. So, you know, your mother says, put on the news. Your father says, put on sports. Okay, so what do you do? So he says, "Maniach imo va'osek b'chavod aviv." Okay, the tati wins. Why? So presumably because you're chayiv in honoring your father, and your mother's chayiv in honoring your father, just like why God wins because you're okay. But listen to this; it's unbelievable. Ve'im hi migureshet me'aviv. But if your mother and father are no longer married, Shnehem shavim ula'ezim hem sheyirtze yakdim. Your mother gets bumped up a level. All she has to do to get more respect is divorce dad. Okay, don't share this outside of this room. But why? Presumably, the answer is that when they're divorced, she no longer owes her husband the obligation of honoring him. So therefore, at this point, you know, now it gets really hard, because in the first case, you go, listen, Mom, I'm really sorry, but the halacha is dad comes first. But in the second case, you got nothing to hide behind. The short answer is, I'm doing this because I like Mommy better. Right? There's no other halacha.
But the thing is, right now, it's mother, it's a father, and the son is supposed to...
Right, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why you have to get divorced. Okay. Tesvav. Amayla aviv la'avor al divrei Torah. Right? Bein mitzvah tasei, bein mitzvah lo tasei, v'afil mitzvah shel divrehem lo yishamalo. Right? That's the rule we saw at the beginning. You have to listen to them to violate Torah. Quick. Your test. Asur la'adam la'achbi. Okay, this is male for the older people in the room. Asur la'adam, I guess for all of us. La'achbir ulo al banav uledakdek b'chvodo imahem. Right? Don't be a jerk. Meaning, you could sit on the couch and make your kids bring you everything and, you know, never help and never do anything and constantly remind them, it's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah for them to do it. But the Mechaber says, it's not a good idea. Shelo yivyem lidei michshol. Because basically, you're going to bring them to make a mistake. Ella yimchol v'ya'alim einav mehem. Don't get angry. You know, don't stand on your honor. Sheha'av shemachal al kvodo kvodo machol. Okay, says the Mechaber, parents have a role to play in making the mitzvah. They could basically make the mitzvah kibud av v'aim inaccessible. It could just be impossible to do it. Or they could be reasonable and understanding. And now just a great halacha to end. Sivchaf. Ha'makeh livno gadol. Hayu min dadino to. Now, in theory, you could hit your kids. Okay? I'm not saying I do.
You hit them every day.
Okay?
You don't know why.
Shehare now. But why are they minadeyu if you hit your son who's a grown-up? So the halacha is shehare over alifnei iver lo titein michshol. Why? Because at some point he's going to hit you back. The halacha is what it is. But human beings are what they are. And if you hit a son who's grown up enough, right, and all the stories I read, eventually the kid hits the father back, and then he leaves the house. Right, they're mostly novels.
It's hard to imagine that,
but so the short answer is, it's mutter to hit your kid, but the Mechaber says it's a violation of lifnei iver. Bezdin stops you because it's only going to end poorly. Now, fascinating halacha. I don't know the source for. V'lo mikre gadol davar zeh rak achar chaf aleph chaf bet shana or chaf dalet shana. Meaning, your 13-year-old when out choshesh is going to hit you back. Once you get into your 20s, you know, look out. Okay? Did my best.
Yes. Stop. Right.
Thanks.
Okay, can I have your dirt cup?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Good.
Now,